Okay, thank you, Brother Cody.
And good morning. Okay, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and greet all those online that are joining in. And, you know, this is a wonderful day. You know, it's Mother's Day, and I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all those in the congregation, all the moms that are online. And, you know, we are blessed this day. You know, we are blessed in this church with such wonderful moms. And I think even if they're not just our birth mom, I know all the ladies here are a wonderful inspiration and a mom to me. So thank you very much. I'm going to start with Proverbs 31. So I'm going to turn to Proverbs 31, and I'm going to start with verse 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." You know, we have such kindness in the church with our moms. "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruits of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." We are blessed, again, with such wonderful moms in the church, which are righteous and godly examples and live up to the words that I just read. You know, verse 26 says, "She opened up her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." And verse 30 said, "Favor and deceit and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." And I know that's feareth the Lord there, that example to us of a righteous person that is fearful to the Lord, that is there to praise God, that is there to live their life for our God. You know, we look around today in this room and we see these attributes of our mothers. You know, we are blessed with such wonderful examples to follow. You know, I feel our mother's love is the closest thing to God's love. You know, it's a mother with a baby, a mother with a child, you know, even whatever age you are, that mother loves you unconditionally. And she might want you to do things differently, but she loves you, and she shows that love. God gives us mothers with that unique, special blessing of love. Mothers have that obligation to teach us right from wrong. And I know from a baby on, they are teaching us what is right. And with the help of God, they can raise us to be strong, strong people. You know, they teach us to put our trust and faith in the Lord. And I'm going to turn to Alma in the Book of Mormon, Alma, page 518. And this is the 26th chapter, and I'm going to start with verse 96, and it says, "Yea, and even according to their faith, it was done unto them, and I did remember the words which they said unto me that their mothers had taught them." And then I'm going to drop down to 101, and it says, "Nevertheless, according to the goodness of God and to our great astonishment, and also the joy of the whole army, there was not one soul of them which did perish. Yea, and neither was there one soul among them which had not received many wounds. And now their preservation was astonishing to our whole army. Yea, that they should be spared. Well, there was 1,000 of our brethren which were slain. And we do justly ascribe it to the miraculous power of God, because of their exceeding faith in that which they had been taught to believe, that there was a just God, and whosoever did not doubt that they should be preserved by his marvelous power. Now this was the faith of these of whom I have spoken. They are young, and their minds are firm, and they do put their trust in God continually." So this story here, you know, as I read it here, this was a story that talked about Helaman. And he had his 2,000 stripling soldiers. You know, it tells how these young men put their strength and faith from the teachings of their mothers. You know, their mothers said, have faith, and they knew that they would be protected. They were in battle, and it's, their mothers had taught them to put on the whole armor of God, and to not doubt and put their trust in the Lord. So in this story, it says from their mothers, they were taught to that they would be protected, and they were. And it said in there, not one was slain or had many wounds. 2,000 trusting in the Lord, and it was with that faith that their mothers gave. I'm going to turn to Ephesians now. This is Ephesians 6. And this is on putting on the whole armor of God. And we all know this passage, Ephesians 6. I'm going to start with 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith," there's that faith, "wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." You know, do we pray for everyone? Do we pray for this goodness? Do we pray for this strength to have in the Lord? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. With our mothers having that obligation, you know, I tell you, they have that obligation to teach us right from wrong, and they do. You know, God blesses us with the mothers that guide us and direct us, and with his guidance, they'll guide us down our path. But we also have an obligation. We have a commandment. And in Deuteronomy 5:16, it says, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So question, do we honor our mothers and our fathers? You know, do we follow this commandment that he has given us in the scriptures? Do we do that? Do we give, or do we put that trust in the things they say? Do we let them guide us? Do we honor them and love them and show them that respect? In my life, I feel I had the best mom. And I think everybody out there, you can think to yourself, and you think you have the best mom, and I'm sure you do. We all have had the best mom in our lives. My mom's biggest focus was to raise me to do right from wrong and to follow God's commandments. She showed me by the example she lived. And each one of us, we have that obligation to live our lives. Whether we're a mom, whether we're whoever we are, we have that obligation to live our lives as that example, following God's commandments, doing those things that are right. You know, she lived life looking for the good in all people and showed love to all. You know, do we look for the good? She loved the gospel. She wanted us to live for the Lord. At my work, I receive a thought for the day. Weekly, our vice president from Minnesota, he'll send down a thought for the day. And there was a thought that said, what you choose to focus on will grow. So what you choose to focus on will grow. And so I like a few little props here, but I had, and I think I've brought these before, but see these African violets. They're up here. For them to grow, you have to know how to take care of them. And it doesn't have to be very hard, but just for a normal person, if you did not know how to take care of African violets, you would water them from the top, and you would hope they would grow. But you would find out that these leaves would start dying because these leaves do not like water on them. And where I learned this was from my mom. My mom, which she learned it from her mom. And so that example comes down. But you, on an African violet, we'll give a tip in case you want to grow them. You water them from the bottom about once a week. You water them in the little tray. Let it soak up the water and give it the proper sunlight. An east window is the best. But give it the proper sunlight and it will grow and it will flourish. And it's not that I have a green thumb, but I was taught. I was taught by my mom, which was taught by my grandma on heaven. And they always had these beautiful violets. And I just happened to ask them one day, how do you do that? You know, and it was that simple thing. But, you know, in our lives, we learn from those things, and we can grow. You know, these grow because I water them. If I did not water them, they'd be shriveled up. They wouldn't be pretty. They would die. So it's so important that we live our lives in a way that shows a good example to others. You know, our youth are watching us. You know, so think of that. If you're an adult, if you're a teen, whatever, our youth are watching us. They're looking at what we do. They're learning from the things we do. So are we being a good example? Are we living our life for God? Do we have happiness? Brother Dan, just last week he was mentioning how he would go to the store and just smile at everybody. And these people would be contagious. It would be contagious. They would smile back, you know. And he would tell somebody was having a bad day, could tell they were grumpy, and maybe they are always grumpy. But he would smile, and they smiled back. I think he was mentioning somebody in Walmart, this cashier that's always grumpy. And he smiled, and she smiled back. And so people are looking, especially our youth, on what we do, how we live our lives. We need to display the love of God, following his commandments and showing love and charity to all. You know, some are easier to love than others, but we must love all. And I'm going to ask the question again. You're going to hear it a lot of times. Where do we put our focus? And just ponder it in your mind. Where is our focus? And let's turn to Matthew chapter 22. Okay, Matthew 22, and I'm going to start with 37. And it says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. You know, our focus needs to be on our love to God. And if we have that love for God and love in our hearts, it will be displayed to everyone around us. We need to be an example to others, showing the love of God in everything we do. So those two commandments go together. Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, and strength, or with all your heart, and it will just flow right down. If you have that love of God, you will have that love for our fellow man. And we must look at others with that love. Let's look for the good in all people. So the other day I was talking again to a brother in the church, and I made the statement that we need to look for the good in others. And he said, you sound like your dad. And I'm like, well, this was good. I probably do, and that's probably where I learned it from. And I'm sure I learned it from him. And he said, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I think it is. Look for the good in others. You know, we all have faults. And if we look at those faults, it'll just tear us down. If we concentrate on the faults of each person, it will tear us down. But if we look for the good, and be an example of good. That's so important. Our focus in life should be to follow God's commandments and to be the example of God's goodness, living humbly with kindness in our hearts. You know, is that hard? Is it hard to be kind? I don't think so. So I have a couple more plants to talk about today. You know, did I bring these plants? Yes, I brought these plants up here. But the first one, we'll look over here at this plant here. It's flourishing. I water it so it grows. This plant, I don't name all of my plants, but I have two plants at home, and they have names. So this name is Grace. This plant is Grace. And this plant, I received it, we received it 3 years ago. My mom passed away 3 years ago. So I've had this plant for 3 years. So she's 3 years old. She's flourishing. because we've watered, given it sunlight. My mom was a good example. So I want to read a passage from Colossians which shows the example that my mom displayed. And it's Colossians 3. So Colossians 3, and I'm going to start with 1. I'm going to read 1 through 4, and then I'll skip down. I'll tell you where. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And then I'm going to drop down to 12, verse 12, and it says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful." You know, are we thankful people? Are we seeking the Lord? Are we having that charity one for another? It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." You know, when I read these words and the kindness and the charity and the love, I think of my mom. And I think we all knew her and knew that she displayed that kindness and that true concern for everybody's needs. And so I was blessed, again, blessed with the best mom. And even to her dying day, she was serving the Lord. She had that desire and knew what she needed to do, and that she was wanted to be with our Lord. And so she quoted to me, I preached at her funeral, and the day before she passed away, she asked me to do it, and I said, "Do you have any particular scripture?" And she said, Alma 19, 43 and 44, and it says, "Behold, it hath been made known unto me by an angel that the spirits of all men, as soon as they are departed from this mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken to that God who gave them life. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of those which are righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles and from all care and sorrow." Even her last days were focused. Her focus and her passion was to be with the Lord. So I want to ask again, what is our focus? So I have another plant here. So this plant's a little bit older, and this plant, he's actually 10 and a half years old, and his name is Frank. So we have Grace and we have Frank, and I promise, I hope I'm not crazy, I don't name any other plants, I just have Grace and Frank. So he's 10 and a half years old. This was from my father-in-law, Apostle Frank Frantz's funeral. My work had sent it to me. It was smaller then. If I repotted it, it could probably be super, super big. But so I watered it, put it in the right sunlight, so it still is growing, and it's lasted 10 and a half years. So he's another example of God's love. Anybody that knew Apostle Frank Van, you know, he was And he was steadfast in showing that love and serving the Lord. His desire was to serve our God, and he served him to his dying day. You know, he battled cancer and had a rough go of it, but his desires never failed. And the example he lived, again, we could look at him and know that goodness of the Lord. And I'm going to read from Mosiah 3:21. It's one verse here, and it says, "Therefore I would that you should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works, that the Christ, the Lord God omnipotent, may seal you his, that you may be brought to heaven, that you may have everlasting salvation and eternal life, through the wisdom and power and justice and mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen." Are we abounding in good works? Are we doing the best we can? Are we serving our God? Do we live with the love of God and of all men? Not just some men, but all men. I want to read, since I'm talking about my father-in-law, I want to read one of his favorite scriptures, and it's in Mosiah 2, and it's on page 220, and it's one of my favorites too. Okay, Mosiah 2, I'm going to start with verse 9. It says, "I say unto you that if you have come to the knowledge of the goodness of God, and his matchless power, and his wisdom, and his patience, and his long-suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping his commandments, and continue in the faith, even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of the mortal body. I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were ever since the fall of Adam, or which are or which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which has been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved except the conditions which I have told you." And this is where we all know it. It says, "Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if you have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures, and humble yourselves even into the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily." Do we call on him daily? "Standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him who created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true." You know, that was his, I don't know if it was his favorites. I know it was one of his favorites, and he read it a lot. And he lived his life. He lived his life as an example, as each one of us do. And each one of us should. So what is our focus? What is our focus? Is it on our God? Is it on living the best we can, following his commandments, doing what is right, showing that love to all men? I'm going to turn to Romans 12. So Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to start with 1. Says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And there it is. It says, do not think of himself more highly than others. You know, is that what gets in the way? You know, we're worried about ourselves. I think the word self gets in our way versus others in love. You know, let me continue. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, you know, we're each different. We're different and we have different abilities. And we need to go on that strength that God's given us, on what abilities we have. It says, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait in our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. You know, I'm saying, when I say to you, look for the good, we still need to abhor to the appearance of evil. But everybody has good. So we need to look and focus on that good, and live our lives as that example of good and abhor evil. You know, not just accept evil, but look to the good of all. And it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The last verse, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So a question, do we make an effort to live peaceably with all men? You know, and it'll makes it easier if we ask God to be by our side every day. He will make it easy to walk in love and compassion in dealing with others in our lives. You know, so the key is our God, Asking him for that strength. We must trust, have our faith in God, and ask him to lead us and guide us and he will help us to overcome our struggles, overcome the problems we have with different people. And again, I say it's easier to love some people than other people, but we must show that love to all. And so I always like to read a song out of the hymn book, and I'm going to turn to 378. These songs have been inspired by God. And on 378, it's loving each other. I'm going to read it. It says, "This is the motto we all would obey. We will all love one another. Happy we sing and are glad all the day when we can serve one another." And I'll go ahead and read the chorus this first time. "Loving each other, how pleasant to cherish a brother. Serving each other, the Savior looks on us with joy." And says, "Thus will we labor and thus will we play, trying to help one another, driving the sorrows of others away, bringing sweet peace to each other." People have struggles. Others have struggles. What we say, what we do, that example we leave, you know, if we reach out to those in need, we can help them. God will help them through us. God will, if we can show the Spirit of God through the things we do, show that love, so important. It says, "Let us, like Jesus, be thoughtful and kind." You know, there's our example. You know, where do we get our example? That we can be that example. "Striving to please one another. Here as in heaven, we will be of one mind, everyone loving the other. Loving each other, how pleasant to cherish a brother. Serving each other, the Savior looks on us with joy." I'm going to turn now to 1 Nephi on page 28. And this is 1 Nephi chapter 3. And I'm going to start with 64, and it says, "And I answered him, saying, Yea, is the love of God, which sheddeth itself abroad the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore, it is the most desirable of all things. And he spake unto me, saying, Yea, and the most joyous to the soul. And after that he had said these words, he said unto me, Look. And I looked, and I beheld the Son of God going forth among the children of men. And I saw many fall down at his feet and worship him. And it came to pass that I beheld the rod of iron, which my father had seen, was the word of God, which led to the fountain of the living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are representation of the love of God. And I also beheld that the tree of life was representation of the love of God." We need to have that love in our hearts. We need to have the love of God in our hearts. And where do we get it? It said the rod of iron, the word of God. We must have that in our hearts, and we must live our lives daily with that. I'm going to turn back to Mosiah chapter 2, the very first verse, and it's on page 219. I'm going to read the first five verses, page 219. It says, "And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made an end of his speaking the words which had been delivered unto him by the angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about on the multitude. And behold, they had fallen to the earth, for the fear of the Lord had come upon them. And they had viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. And they all cried aloud with one voice, saying, Oh, have mercy, and apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins, and our hearts may be purified. For we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created heaven and an earth, and all things, who shall come down among the children of men. And it came to pass that after they had spoken these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they were filled with joy." Verse 5, it says, they were filled with the joy and love of the Lord. You know, their joy, there is joy in our journey with God. There is joy if we will just follow his commandments and he let him lead us. So let's pray to God for the wisdom and guidance. Let's ask him. He asks us. He wants us to seek him. He wants to help us. He wants to be in our lives. You know, it is important that we seek our God and ask for his guidance in our lives. Jesus spoke in Matthew 5:16, and it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamors and evil speaking be put away from you and all malice. And be ye kind one to another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And Moroni 7:11 says, but behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve him is inspired of God. Ephesians 5:1-2 says, be ye therefore followers of God. Are we followers? Do we let him lead us as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling savor? And then Moroni 52:53 says, wherefore cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ and endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with him. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all thy energy of heart, that you may be filled with this love which hath been bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that you may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. If we truly have the love of God in our hearts and focus on him, we will be able to show love for all people, not just some people, but all people. We must work at possessing that love and compassion in our day-to-day lives. You know, work at it. You know, what is our focus? Is our focus on doing good? Is our focus on the Lord? I'm going to turn now to John 15. Say John 15, I'm going to start with verse 7, and this is Jesus speaking, and he's telling us what we need to do. It says, if ye abide with me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You know, there's joy in our journey with God. It says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. In verse 14, it says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. You know, there's a big statement. Do we follow his commandments? Do we do what is right? You know, are we abiding with the Lord and following his commandments? So I have a Mother's Day poem here. I'm getting towards the end, but I have a Mother's Day poem, and it's by Helen Steiner Rice. And it says, a mother's love. A mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking, and it never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns. It glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining. It defies all explanation. And it still remains a secret like the mysteries of creation. A many-splendored miracle man cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender guiding hand. You know, God has blessed us with our moms. And again, happy Mother's Day. And we are so blessed to have you all here and have you in our lives. You know, God has blessed us with our moms and that unconditional love. You know, as I said at the first, I think the closest thing to the love of God is the love of a mom. A mom has that unconditional love. And no matter what we do, she always wants us to do better. But she has that love that is immeasurable. So I want to challenge us all to walk with that love of God in our hearts so all can see the things we do. Be that example. Be that example in everything we do. Be that example of God's love. And remember, I'll say again, our youth are watching us. So it's important that whether they're watching us or not, that we do what is right. And be that example of God's love. And I'm going to end with Psalm 118:24, which says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in that. So happy Mother's Day. Have a blessed day, and I thank you.